Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio, heard across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com. By subscribing to that podcast on iTunes or at the podcast app on your iPhone or a podcast player app on your Android devices. My name is Brett Amundson. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. It's brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. You want to plan a trip this fall or maybe coming up and do some winter fishing, ice fishing, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. We'll get a report from Joe Henry before the show is over. It's also brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Same deal. You want to do some fall fishing, maybe cast and blast shoot waterfowl up there and do some walleye fishing and then get ready for those big perch in the winter out of the snow bears. Go to haybaleheights.com. It's also brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided duck and goose hunting in western Minnesota. You might even see me and Mika, who decided to be part of the radio show. She hates being left out of the radio show, but she's along with us a lot of time on those guided hunts in western Minnesota and also spring snow goose hunting in Missouri and South Dakota as well. And we do all that hunting and fishing. We like to eat that stuff. So our first guest is going to help you prepare some of that wild game so it's might taste a little bit better next time you prepare it and eat it with yourself, your friends, your family, or whatever. He's Hank Shaw, hunter, angler, gardener, cook. Hank, how's it going?
It's going well. It sounds like you're as busy as I am.
Oh, yeah. Always running, but all fun things, so you can't really complain about it, right?
We could, but it would be unfair.
That's right. Well, you're the author of such books as Hunt, Gather, Cook, Finding the Forgotten Feast, Pheasant, Quail, Cottontail, Buck, Buck, Moose, and Duck, Duck, Goose, which in Minnesota should be called Duck, Duck, Gray Duck.
I've heard this more than once.
We've probably talked about that. We've had you on the show before, of course, so we've probably talked about that here as well. But you're going to be traveling all over the country, and we'll talk about some of those places that you're going to be traveling to. But where are you right now?
I'm actually home for a rare week, actually. I get a chance to hunt in the Sierra Nevada for a change.
Really? What are you chasing around out there?
Well, this morning I just got back from a bandtail pigeon hunt, which is one of the rarest hunts in North America, actually.
Yeah, what is a bandtail pigeon?
So a bandtail pigeon is the North America's only native, it only lives in the West, and it's bigger than a street pigeon, and they're very hard to get on because they're smart, they're big, and they fly high, and they are the fastest game animal in North America.
The fastest game, so they're quick.
Nothing flies faster.
Really?
Really.
I guess I hadn't heard of these before. And then, is that considered a squab then, or what's the meat like?
Yes, it's very much like a squab. And the diet of these pigeons is amazing. They only eat acorns, pine nuts, and various berries. So, like, everything they eat tastes good in and of itself, so it's going to make for a great recipe.
Well, that's interesting. You know, we go on pigeon hunts. Obviously, it's a different type of pigeon here in Minnesota. And most of the times when you ask guys if they want to eat some, they kind of look at you funny.
It's true. And even those pigeons are actually really good to eat if you are out in the country. I mean, nobody wants to eat a pigeon that's got, like, you know, cigarette butts and Doritos in its crop. I mean, you want
no.
You want to eat something that's got grain in it. And if those regular pigeon hunts are all kinds of fun. And if you look at the crops of all of those birds, it's nothing but grain.
So Hank Shaw, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, you've got some time home alone. You're chasing bandtail pigeons around. What else are you going to be doing there?
Squirrels are open. So we have a western gray squirrel that's as big as your fox squirrels, but they're kind of a slate gray. And we also have a special quail, a mountain quail, which is bigger than a regular quail. And you know how our quail have kind of like a comma on the top of their heads?
Yeah, yep.
This one has an exclamation point on the top of his head.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty cool season. It's right before deer starts. So you get the woods to yourself, and it's a beautiful time. The berries are still there. The nuts are just coming on. The weather's good. There's three or four things to hunt. I mean, it's a great moment in the hunting year.
You know, only a wild game chef would get this excited about hunting and eating pigeon and squirrel.
I don't know. I mean, I judged the world championship squirrel cook-off in Bentonville, Arkansas, just 2 weeks ago.
And oh,
I think
really?
There's a whole bunch of people excited about squirrels.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I've had squirrel before, and it was delicious. I enjoyed it. But what? So you judged it. How are people preparing squirrel out there?
you name it. Like, but it was funny because half the contestants were getting too cute by half. So they were doing, I mean, you didn't see any squirrel and dumplings. You didn't see any, you know, barbecue. You didn't see any, you know, chicken fried squirrel. So it was just, there was a lot of really esoteric things that they were trying to impress the judges with. And some did, and some did not.
Hunter, angler, gardener, cook, and squirrel eating, squirrel cooking contest judge Hank Shaw on Sporting Journal Radio here with us right now. You've got, which one is your latest book that you came out with this year, Hank?
That's Pheasant, Quail, Cottontail. So it's all about upland birds and small game.
And is that the one you're touring, you're going to be touring around the country with?
That is correct. I'll actually be in your neck of the woods in just a couple weeks, actually.
Yeah, you're headed to Oregon, Nebraska, Iowa, and then Minnesota, North Dakota, and even Wisconsin. We'll talk about those dates. Before we get into the book dinners, you're going to be at something called the Minneapolis Beer Bash. That is going to be on October 8th. What's that all about?
Well, I have a lot of friends in the Twin Cities. And so I can't just do one event in the Twin Cities. So we're going to do a really nice book dinner in Wayzata. And then we're going to just do just come on in and get yourself a book and a beer. And we're going to do special like pub grub food just based off the cookbook. And that's going to be at Fulton Brewing in Minneapolis on October 8th. And that's come one, come all. It's no charge to get in, you know, just come in and get a book and a beer and just have a good time.
Cool. That sounds like no fun at all, by the way.
And it'll be Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's a Monday. Okay, perfect. And that's Monday, October 8th at Fulton Brewing, Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Beer Bash. And then the next night, October 9th, is in Wayzata?
That's in Wayzata. That's my friend Lenny Russo. So the thing about the chefs that I work with a lot is we all have won James Beard Awards. So once you do, it's kind of like this weird little mafia and we kind of just know each other. And so I'll be returning there because I did an event with him at his old restaurant, Heirloom. And now he's over at 925 at Hotel Landing in Wayzata.
Very cool. All right. So these book dinners then, what exactly are these all about? What happens there?
So it's a way to celebrate what's in the book. So some of them I'm cooking myself. Some of them I'm helping out. Some of them I just develop the chef with or develop the menu with the chef. And so all of them are a celebration of whatever the books are about. And so in this case, you're going to see pheasant, you're going to see rabbit, you're going to see quail, you might see squab. And it's all going to be done as a really, really nice dinner. As you know, sometimes they have themes, like we've done one that was Mexican. We did one that was Asian. This one's going to be kind of American from your table. And it's just a really good way to kind of test drive the cookbook. Everybody who comes gets the book and you get a real nice meal to go with it.
Well, I'm not coming unless there's squirrel, Hank.
You see, the problem with squirrel is you can't sell squirrel at a restaurant. Oh, so I could cook squirrel for you, but it'll have to be at your place after we go hunting.
All right. Well, we should mention too, you're going to be in Fargo at Luna on October 10th. So our listeners up in Fargo will be able to join you October 10th at Luna. And then our Winona listeners can catch you in La Crosse in Wisconsin on October 20th at the Charmont Hotel.
Yep. Yep. So the thing about Luna and Fargo, there's only a few seats left on that. So if you want to come out to Fargo, you better get on it. So just call Luna and make a reservation for October 10th, and they'll get you in. And then I'll also be down in Valley Springs, which is basically Sioux Falls, and we're going to do another beer party down there.
Oh, yeah, and that's not that far from here either. We should mention that, especially our listeners down in Worthington and down in the southwestern part of Minnesota. Sioux Falls is just a short drive for them over there. So,
exactly, because I'm going to be hunting at the Governor's Pheasant Opener the day before.
Oh, in Laverne. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. We'll have to try to hook up while we're out there and see if we can't knock a couple birds down or wing some steel towards them anyway.
Oh, no. I have no problems with the confidence of your shooting or mine. I mean, besides, I trust you, and I've just been whacking doves and the fastest North American game bird. So I think I should be okay.
You're gonna have to slow down a little bit. Pheasants are probably moving a little bit slower than those pigeons.
Oh, you have no idea, dude. Like if you tune up on doves and pigeons and quail, and then you see an early season pheasant, you really almost have to just sort of sit there and watch it for a few seconds before you pull your gun up.
Hank Shaw is our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about his latest book, Pheasant Quail Cottontail, and some dates where you can join him for a meal in Minneapolis, Fargo, La Crosse, and some other areas around the region here. You can find those dates and those locations on the on your Facebook page and on your website, I'm assuming, Hank?
Exactly. If you go to huntgathercook.com, which is my website, and there's a little tab that says, "Where's Hank?" And then that you can find all the details there.
All right. I want to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to get a few tips from you on preparing maybe some waterfowl. Maybe you can just offer a few tips for our listeners since waterfowl season's opening up this weekend. And I'll talk a little bit more with Hank Shaw. Also, we'll get a fishing report from Lake of the Woods and Devil's Lake, too, coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com. Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online sportingjournalradio.com, by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and with the podcast app on your iPhone or the podcast player app on your Android device. Our guest right now is author and wild game chef Hank Shaw. He's going to be doing some dates around the area. Minneapolis, October 8th at the Minneapolis Beer Bash at Fulton Brewing. At the Hotel Landing in Wayzata, October 9th. At Luna in Fargo on October 10th. And in La Crosse at the Charmette Hotel on October 20th. Also a Sioux Falls date in there. And we'll run through all those dates again coming up before we let you go here. And, you know, I was reading your Facebook page a little bit. You got a description on there, and you use the term, where is it? I got to find it here again. You use the term from field to table and nose to tail. Have you cooked tail before, Hank?
In fact, I have.
Really?
I will be honest. The only things I've ever cooked are oxtails. But it's a good expression.
So what kind of how much meat is on an oxtail?
Oh, lots. And it's some of the best meat on the whole cow.
Really? And is it just like one, is it all meat or is there
there's the bone in the middle. And so you go from a really big one at the base of the tail to really little ones at the end of the tail. And you slow braise them. So typically, if you like short ribs, if you like beef short ribs, you'll love oxtail.
Really? Interesting. Yep. I guess I've had some meat from a tail of an alligator, maybe. I don't know if that would be
the same thing
or not. But
You're right. I have cooked alligator tail.
There you go. All right. And then I want to talk to you a little bit, since waterfowl season's opening up right now. We've been eating a lot of goose from the early season, and I've had some delicious duck before. And then I was up in Saskatchewan, actually, last week, and hunted with my dad. He hadn't been up there. His father was born in Saskatchewan, and he hadn't been back since he was like 16 years old, 1956. So I had the opportunity to bring him up there and take him waterfowl hunting in Saskatchewan for the first time in over 60 years. So it was kind of a neat experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. And stayed with some friends of mine up at Trails End Outfitters on Tobin Lake and went fishing on Tobin for a little bit. He caught the biggest pike of his life. 43-incher up there, and then we went out and shot some snow geese and big Canada geese, little Canada geese, and then I really wanted to shoot a sandhill crane. And for some of our listeners, they may go, sandhill crane? I didn't think he could shoot those. And some people actually thought they were whooping cranes. I said, no, that's one's white. This is a different bird. But in only part of Minnesota, you can hunt them. In a big part of Minnesota, since we get two populations of sandhill cranes that come into Minnesota, they protect the eastern population for now. But up in the northwest corner, you can hunt them. And in the Dakotas, you can hunt them. And a number of other states, you can hunt them too. And I think they're delicious. And if one of our listeners, what's a quick tip for cooking sandhill crane that you would give somebody?
I'm going to give the same tip for cranes as you would with geese or any duck. Cook the breast meat like it's a steak and cook the legs as if it's brisket. And it's, if you forget everything else about what we talked about, you will be okay if you remember that.
So you're basically medium rare is kind of what you're thinking then?
Exactly. Yeah. So if it's no matter if it's a big Canada goose or a sandhill crane breast or a teal breast, you want to cook it medium rare. Now, the one caveat with like a big Canada goose is the breast meat could be a little tough. So you got to think of it more like a London broil than you would like a duck breast, which is much more tender. And here's the cool thing about cranes. Even though that cranes can live for quite some time and travel a long way, I've never had a tough crane breast. It's always very, very beefy and very, very, it's almost like a ribeye, which is why they call it the ribeye of the sky.
Ribeye of the sky. That's right. They're very delicious. Hank Shaw, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about preparing waterfowl on this waterfowl opener here in Minnesota and other states around the area as well. And I'm just going to move out of waterfowl and out of the region once again and talk Alaska, because you spent some time up in Alaska this summer.
I did. I got back on deck for the first time in, God, it's got to be 25 years.
Okay.
I worked as a commercial gill netter out of Juneau.
Now, hey, you had done that before?
Never as a gill netter. I'd worked a little bit of commercial fishing when I was in college, and then I'd worked as a deckhand on charter boats before, but I'd never worked on a net boat.
Okay. So you're out there in Alaska netting salmon.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It went well. I mean, it's hard work. You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And it's one of those things where, you know, you're sore, you're tired, you're dinged up, but every fish that comes over the rail, is, you know, it's a prize, right? Because we were fishing in a very high end fishery where every fish that we got, we pressure bled. So you know, not only do you do regular bleeding and regular gilling and gutting on board every fish, but we actually did something called pressure bleeding. And if you want to see what that is, just Google how to pressure bleed a salmon and you'll see me doing it. I have a video.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
It's the short version is you jam a needle in the main artery and it flushes out a lot of blood out of every salmon. And it makes the fish cleaner tasting and it will keep better.
So you guys did all that on the boat. Yeah, walk us through real quick how a day out there doing this would go.
Sure. So you get up before dawn and you go to where you want to set the net. And as soon as you get enough light to work, you set the net. The net's 1,200 feet long.
Wow.
And then you let it sit there for however long you need to let it sit. So ideally 90 minutes or so. And you watch for seals because they can steal all the fish out of your net. And you know, you haul the net and then you got to strip out tons and tons and tons of jellyfish, which are super fun to have land on your head.
did that happen to you?
Yeah. And they, you know, the bright red ones sting like bee stings.
Oof-da. Well, I've heard what you're supposed to do if you get stung by a jellyfish.
No one's peeing on my head. Nuh-uh.
You knew where I was going with that.
I did.
And let's back up one more second too. So you're trying to keep seals out of there. What happens if you do see a seal?
You haul the net, you haul the net as fast as you can. Cause a seal will come by and bite the back half off of every fish sometimes.
Oh
Yikes. Sometimes they'll just eat one or two, and that's cool. We just call that the seal tax. But every now and again, you'll get a nasty one, and they'll just eat all your stuff.
Oof. All right, so you're pulling jellyfish off your face.
Yep. And then a fish comes over, and then so it's just me and Tyson on the boat. So it's me and the captain, and each of us takes a side of the net, and you paw down through the webbing of the net to try and find that fish. And when you find that fish in the webbing, you flip him over so he's hanging. And then whoever is closest to it, you jam your fingers between the fish and the webbing and pop that fish out of the net. It's a gill net. So once the fish hits the ground, you pop one gill, jam your two fingers into the other side of the gills, carry them over to a big tank full of salt water and pop that second gill so that fish bleeds out. Hmm. So you do that over and over and over and over and over again until the net is clean. Then you reset the net. And then while that net is waiting, you know, is hopefully filling up with more fish, you take every single one of those fish you just bled and you gut them, you save the row, you take the gills out, you take the heads off, and then you pressure bleed each one, one by one by one. And then as soon as they're done, they go into a seawater slurry. So it's seawater and ice that's about 27, 28 degrees. And everything is done within minutes of that fish being caught.
So you're keeping it as fresh as possible. And when you say you're doing it to fish after fish after fish, how many fish on average are coming out of the net?
You know, an okay haul is 20, but sometimes it's 120.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, and knock on wood, we never had a water haul, which is when you haul the net and there's nothing in it.
Oh, well, that's pretty good then. And how many days did you do this?
So it's 48 to 72 hours of straight fishing, and then you're off for the rest of the week. But you know, it's not like you're sitting around eating bonbons. You're fixing the net, you're cleaning the boat up, you're packaging fish for customers and all that kind of stuff.
All right, we're talking with Hank Shaw. I got a couple of more questions. We got to take another quick break. Can you stick around for a little bit longer?
You bet.
With us. All right, more with Hank Shaw coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus, we got some fishing reports from Lake of the Woods and Devil's Lake coming up on Sporting Journal Radio. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Hi, Babe Winkleman here with a message to waterfowl hunters. Even though it's fall, those nasty aquatic invasive species are still a concern. To help prevent them from spreading, cut vegetation above the waterline when using it as camouflage.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast on iTunes and with the podcast app on your iPhone or the podcast player on your Android device. The Midwest radio home for the outdoors is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Talking to Hank Shaw right now, hunter, angler, gardener, cook, He's got a book out. His new book is Pheasant Quail Cottontail, and you can learn more about that on his website and then see him in person October 8th in Minneapolis at Fulton Brewing at the Minneapolis Beer Bash, and Wayzata at the Hotel Landing October 9th, at Luna in Fargo October 10th, and in La Crosse at the Charmont Hotel on October 20th. And then what's that Sioux Falls date again, Hank?
That Sioux Falls date is the 13th. It's the night after the Governor's Pheasant Opener, and we're going to be at a Homestead Brewing in Valley Springs, South Dakota.
Valley Springs Homestead Brewing. Okay. And yeah, we should mention that you'll be at the Governor's Pheasant Opener in Laverne as well in Minnesota. So it's very cool to be spending some time with us out here in Minnesota and Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota. Very cool. But we were talking about your time in Alaska before the break there. You're doing commercial fishing for salmon up there. We were talking about maybe getting up to 120 fish in a net, sometimes 20 fish. Never once did you pull up a net without a fish. So the guys you were working with obviously have this system down.
Right, right. So it's a very small fishery. So it's on the boat. It's just me and the captain. So, you know, you're staring at each other for long hours.
Just two of you guys out there. Okay, so how long, who are you with?
His name is Tyson Fick, and his our boat is the Heather Ann. And the fish that we're selling is through a company called Taku River Reds, T-A-K-U. Taku River Reds is it's like Copper River salmon, if you've heard of that. And it's just a high-end Alaska salmon fishery, and we sell to the public, actually.
Now, can people – is that salmon still available? Is it gone? Can people still get
it? It's available blast frozen.
Okay. And how do they get it?
You would get it through typically, well, if you're in the Twin Cities area, you can, the cheapest way would be to pick it up air cargo, at the airport, but they will also send it through like, you know, FedEx or UPS.
Okay. Overnight. And you order from a website then?
You do. Taku River Reds.
All right, Taku River Reds. Hank Shaw, our guest, talking about commercial fishing in Alaska right now. So Tyson, did he just call you up and say, hey, you want to come up and do some commercial fishing this year?
Yeah, so we'd known each other for a while, and he knew that I was interested, and he needed some help. So I said, originally I was like, oh, you know, I've got this book tour. I'm trying to promote my book all over. And then I said, you know what? Yes, I do, yes.
Yeah. How do you pass up an opportunity to work in Alaska?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the best part about it is it reminds me of when I was a chef. It's athletic, it's physical, and you just put your head down and do your job. And there's something to be said about that.
Did you have some off time? Did you get to explore the state a little bit then?
Well, not so much the state, but we did a couple of recreational fishing trips, which was all kinds of fun.
Oh yeah. What'd you catch?
Let's see. We caught Alaskan pollock. We caught Alaskan, you know, Pacific codfish. We caught a couple of big halibut, a couple of rockfish, but we were mostly targeting halibut. So that's what we were looking for.
I would love to do that just for the halibut. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. A joke I learned when I was six. Thank you.
Try
very much.
The veal.
Yeah. I want to go to Alaska so bad, and I would love to go up there and fish. I know the fishing is incredible, but I'll be completely honest. For a long time, I've wanted to go up and bow hunt caribou, but I think my number one bucket list item right now is to sea duck hunt in Alaska.
I got the hookup for that.
Oh, really?
Yep. We could do it in 2019 if you wanted.
I would be very interested in doing that.
You can pretty much, in the Inland Passage, so right out of Juneau, you can book hunts that will pick up pretty much all of the sea ducks except for like the two weird eiders. You can get the normal eider, but then the king, and I think there's one other eider that you can still shoot, and that you have to go to the Aleutians for that. And that's a different adventure.
Yeah, the king eider is that would be pretty neat to do too, but I'd be okay with just shooting the other sea ducks up there and not going all the way out to St. Paul Island or Island X or whatever it is out there. But I just want to go to Alaska. I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, I've spent some time up in northern Saskatchewan, which is pretty parallel with Alaska up there. So I've gotten to spend some time up in the North Country where things run just a little bit differently up there. It's pretty
yes,
cool.
They do.
Pretty cool country. Hank Shaw's our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. So do you have a home restaurant that you cook at or that people can come eat your dishes at all?
Oh, thank God. No. No, because, you know, I like to say that I've graduated from it, because sure. if I had a home restaurant, I'd have to care about that home restaurant. And I travel just too much to have kind of such a responsibility for, you know, a restaurant's kind of a marriage.
Yeah.
And it's like being a dairyman, you know, and you can't neglect it.
Yeah. Yeah. It would take up all your time, I suppose, and make it hard to do some of the things that you're doing. So then when you're at home, do you cook a lot at home, or does it become like work? So you just maybe microwave some Stouffer's chicken Alfredo and watch Netflix?
I will tell you that when I come home from book tour, so, you know, there are these little 2-day windows in between, you know, trips to here or there. I do get pretty burned out. So those are the days where I would never do like something like Stouffer's. It's just not me. But I've pressure canned a whole bunch of, you know, chili verde elk or wild boar chili Colorado or whatever. And it's like, it's my own canned food. And so I'll pop that open and, you know, make some rice or whatever, and then sit that and watch SportsCenter. And so that's like the days where I just can't bear to cook. But when I'm actually home, you know, this tour finishes in December. When I'm actually home, yeah, I cook almost every day, you know, probably 5 days a week.
Well, that's, I give you credit for that, because that's one of my biggest problems is by the time I'm home and I'm hungry, I like to cook. I just don't always have the patience for the time that it takes to do it right.
That's fair. But, you know, this is it's kind of my job. So, I mean, the way I view it is I test recipes all the time.
Oh, sure.
So that when I tell you that this recipe for sea duck or squirrel or pheasant or whatever works, you know, it works. And because I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I make.
Sure. Well, I'll make a lot of mistakes that you've never made. I'm sure when I cook. But Hank, are you cooking up plans for another book at all?
Yeah, I'm working. I'm working with my girlfriend Holly Heiser, and we are planning a book of essays about hunting.
Oh, cool.
Because we haven't really done a kind of a literature book.
Sure.
But we both came to hunting as adults, and we both came to it as adults writers in Minnesota, of all places. And so we have a lot to say about this crazy pursuit of ours, and we want to get that down in book form.
Cool. When do you think we might see something like that?
Maybe in a year.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Well, and once again, where can people buy your books now that you have out?
Anywhere. So Amazon would be the easiest, but you can literally buy them wherever fine books are sold.
Very cool. And your website, I'm sure, has links to them as well.
It does. And that is huntgathercook.com.
Huntgathercook.com. And let's run through those locations and dates again, starting with Minneapolis.
You bet. So on Monday, October 8th, I'll be at Fulton Brewing in Minneapolis. That's the Beer Bash. The next day, I'll be out in Wayzata, and that is a full-on book dinner at 9:25 at Hotel Landing. Then the very next day, I drive up to Fargo to do a dinner at Luna. And then I get a couple days off, and then we go out to Luverne for the Governor's Pheasant Opener. And then the night after the Governor's Pheasant Opener, I'll be at a Homestead Brewing in Valley Springs, South Dakota, which is 15 minutes from Luverne. And then finally, I will be in La Crosse on October 20th at the Charmont Hotel. And that also is a book dinner.
And of course, you've got other dates too. I know I saw Oregon and Nebraska on there. You going all over the country with this?
Yeah, by the time it's all over, I will have hit 5 Canadian provinces in 40 states.
My gosh. Wow. Are you driving everywhere?
I'm doing a lot of flying and renting of cars.
Okay. All right. So you're getting some frequent flyer miles at least then.
Big time. It's going to help me when I go and get to play next year and go hunting in all over the country.
So 5 provinces, Western Canada?
Yep. So British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario.
Cool. Where in Saskatchewan?
It was in Yellowknife.
Yellowknife. Okay. Oh, did you already do it?
Yeah, last July.
Okay. All right. Well, very cool. Well, good luck with the rest of the tour. Let's try to catch up at the Governor's Pheasant Opener in Luverne this year, and maybe maybe try to make it up to Fargo or Minneapolis for one of those book dates as well. Hank Shaw, hunter, angler, gardener, cook. Good luck with everything. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks for having me on again.
All right, coming up, we'll talk Lake of the Woods with Joe Henry. We'll get you some more fishing reports here on Sporting Journal Radio. But I don't miss, I just knock them in the head in the duck blind, having us a good time. High five every time they fly by, rowboat duck in the middle of the spread. Got sausage on the grill and a piece of white bread. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Come the ducks, hit the high ball up. Shut up the dog, stare at the water. I'll say wind, hold on y'all wait. Hit them boys, boom, 12 gauge. Out in the mud, down in Mississippi. Mallard duck, yeah, that's what gets me. Shooting this steel cause I can't shoot lead. But I don't miss, I just...
Welcome back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amington. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com, and with that podcast in iTunes or the podcast player app, the podcast app on your iPhone. Many, many ways to listen to the show. Thank you for doing so. We're going to head up to Lake of the Woods now and check in with Joe Henry. And Joe, I know fall fishing generally is, it can be some of the best fishing of the year. Sometimes it can be tough. Sometimes it can be really good. The weather's colder. How are things on Lake of the Woods in the fall?
Well, they're wonderful. I mean, if you like to catch walleyes and muskies and crappies and really just about everything, fall fishing is incredible.
I hate doing all of those.
Well, you also like to hunt.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And that's the hard part.
I run into that problem every year. Do I go fish? I mean, I've got some places where fishing usually gets really good, really close to home. Half the time it's shore fishing, and I always end up going hunting anyway. But
you know, it's hard because let's face it. I mean, fall is a really neat season, and yeah, fishing's absolutely incredible. I mean, the fish are on fire. They're putting on the feed bag. You know, when you got 10 million walleyes in Lake of the Woods and a whole bunch of really, really big walleyes, and they're all putting the feed bag on. Yeah, it's some memorable times. The thing of it is, you know, hey, let's face it. You know, kids are in sports. It's football season. People like watching football. People like hunting. There's a lot of competition for it, so we don't get as many anglers on the lake. But I'll tell you what, for people that want to spend a really, really neat fall day or two out on Lake of the Woods or the Rainy River, I mean, fall is an incredible time. The shiners are running. The jig bite has started. So, you know, anglers are going out in front of the gap. Of course, the gap is where the Rainy River enters Lake of the Woods. But, you know, they're heading out, and I can tell you this past week, I mean, I was out. I caught walleyes and everything from 15 to 31 feet of water out in front of the gap. Those walleyes are starting to stage. We're getting them. I got them jigging. I got them pulling harnesses. I got them pulling cranks. I caught them, and that's just one spot. I mean, I caught them over by Long Point. We were out in front of Twin Islands and jigging and caught them out there. I mean, there's fish all along the shoreline starting to sit up in their fall patterns, and it's just been excellent. Heck, right up at the Northwest Angle, my goodness. I mean, they're catching them. It's so cool because, like, I talked to one guy and he's like, well, we just went out in like 15 feet of water and casted out crankbaits and let out enough line until our shad wraps hit the bottom of the lake. And then we reeled up a little bit and we just drove around and filled the box. Yeah. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah, I tell you, Joe, it seems like every single day I've got somebody on Facebook showing a picture of a walleye from Lake of the Woods or walleyes from Lake of the Woods. It seems like this year, every year is pretty good up there. It seems like this year has been unbelievable, but I just saw it today. Another limit of walleyes that got caught up there. I think it was from yesterday, but fishing looks like it's going really well up there.
Obviously I represent Lake of the Woods, you know, as a tourism director, but I mean, goodness gracious, I went to Lake of the Woods 20 years before I was tourism director. And I mean, the lake just keeps kicking out walleyes. And this year, I mean, more than any other year, the big fish, you know, we just finished up the Minnesota Tournament Trail Championship up at Lake of the Woods. And my goodness, I mean, I want to say there was like, you know, 30 or 40 big fish caught for a 2-day tournament. It was just incredible how many big fish were caught. You had to have for a 2-day tournament, Brett, you could bring in per team, you could bring in 6 fish per day. And for the entire tournament, the tournament allowed you 2 big fish. You had to have those 2 big fish in order to get into the money. I mean, it was vital. You had to have them. And the big fish have just been on fire this year, and they still are.
Well, I know I've talked about this a couple of times, Joe, but when we were up there a couple of weeks ago, there were 2 9-year-old girls that caught bigger fish than I did.
Well, that's kind of that. Tell me something I don't know, right?
Yeah, it's not that hard to do, I guess. But they were both, you know, over 28, 20 and a half inches long. They were huge fish.
Yeah. There have just been so many big walleyes being caught on Lake of the Woods this year. And, you know, they've always been there. I mean, obviously they're older fish. They haven't just appeared. You know, have they been just on fire this year because of the way the food is? I mean, we got a ton of food, but they've just been on fire. I mean, we had one person in our tournament this past week caught a 31-inch, 12.4-pound walleye. Wow. That's a big walleye.
Well, yeah. Well, and so many people practice catch and release nowadays. I'd like to see, you know, I'm sure a lot of those big fish got released. I'd like to see what the next couple of years could bring when you start talking, you know, 29, 30, 31 inches out there, Joe.
Well, and not only that, I mean, talk to the people that are taking pictures and putting back 26s and 27s that are like footballs. Yeah. Somebody weighed a 27-incher that was like 9 pounds.
Oh, my God.
You know, and the way it should work is traditionally you would think that a 27 is 7 pounds, a 28-inch walleye is 8 pounds, a 29 is 9 pounds, and a 30 is 10 pounds. That's kind of a general rule. But, boy, you know, some of the fish up at Lake of the Woods lately have just been exceeding that ratio. And we have healthy forage and we have tulipies in our system. And a lot of these big walleyes are focusing on those tulipies, and that's getting them to be really big, really quick. You know,
what's the growth rate up there, Joe? I know we've talked about sturgeon and, you know, you talk about some of these real far north lake trout lakes and they grow maybe a half inch a year. What kind of growth rate, what kind of growing season is on Lake of the Woods?
Well, you know what, I can tell you the stats I know from the Minnesota DNR fisheries, and they do a wonderful job up at Lake of the Woods. You know, a 25-inch walleye is 10 years old. A 30-inch walleye on Lake of the Woods is 20 years old.
Wow.
So it takes that extra 10 years to grow 5 inches, but you got to remember, it's doubled in size because it's gone from 5 to 10 pounds. So a 10-year-old fish is 25 inches, and a 20-year-old fish on average is about 30 inches. Did I say that right? Yeah, 30 inches, yep.
20-year-old fish. That's pretty incredible that they live that long. You know, you always wonder how long a fish lives, and obviously it varies by body of water. But to think some of those big walleyes have been around that long. That's why, you know, it is kind of nice to put some of those fish back when you think about it. They've kind of earned it at that point.
They kind of have. And, you know, I'll tell you something. It's interesting. You know, why, you know, I fish, of course, you fish a lot of lakes. I fish a lot of lakes for tournaments and things. And, you know, every lake is different. And one of the reasons Lake of the Woods is a trophy walleye fishery is because, well, there's a few things that have to happen. First off, you have to have the right gene pool in that body of water. And we're very lucky that we do. Secondly, you got to have big water. You got to have a diverse forage base. And the other catalyst in the state of Minnesota, if you want big, big walleyes, there's almost a direct relationship with having a good population of ciscos or tulipies, which are the same thing, tulipies in your system. Because when those fish get to be about 25 inches or so, their diet starts to shift where they really are offshore targeting those tulipies a good part of their life. And that really helps those fish put on the bulk and get to be big. So it's very interesting how that whole biological dynamic works. And, you know, when people say, you talk about releasing those fish, I agree. You know, get it, take good care of that fish when you get it in. Get a nice picture. Get that fish back. When you release that fish, you don't want to touch its eyes or its gills. You know, you don't want to, when you grab that fish, talking to the DNR, they say it's okay if you grab that hard cartilage that's up, you know, by their mouth and around their gills, but you don't want to be touching the red gills inside. You want to be handling them by the thick cartilage around their mouths and things and supporting their belly weight if you can. When you release a fish, you don't push it back and forth, forwards and back. You can actually drown a fish. You want to hold it upright in the water, you know, so it's like it's swimming, and just go side to side like it's a swimming motion. And that's the best way to get oxygen going through its gills.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, it's always hard to decide what you want to do this time of year, whether you want to grouse hunt, goose hunt, fish, whatever. But as I get older, I realize I've missed a lot of opportunities for fall fishing, and I don't really want to miss many of those opportunities much longer. I realize I want to do some different things in life. So I may have to try to do a little bit more fall fishing, maybe Lake of the Woods. If people want to come up there this fall or maybe book a winter trip, where should they go to find out more info?
You know, you can find us on Facebook, search Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Aquatic nuisance species rules and regulations are not just for summer fishing and boating. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Waterfowl hunters are reminded to do their part in preventing the spread of aquatic nuisance species into or within North Dakota. Waterfowl hunters must remove plants and plant fragments from decoys, strings, and anchors. Remove plant seeds and plant fragments from waders and other equipment before leaving hunting areas. Remove all water from decoys, boats, motors, trailers, and other watercraft. And remove all aquatic plants from boats and trailers before leaving a marsh or lake. In addition, hunters are encouraged to brush their hunting dogs free of mud and seeds. Cattails and bulrushes may be transported as camouflage on boats. All other aquatic vegetation must be cleaned from boats prior to transportation into or within North Dakota. In addition, drain plugs on boats must remain pulled when a boat is in transit away from a water body. More ANS information, including regulations, is available by visiting the Game and Fish Department website, gf.nd.gov. Another reminder from Game and Fish is that waterfowlers hunting from boats are urged to wear properly fitted life jackets while on the water. Capsizing and falling overboard from small boats are the most common types of fatal boating accidents for hunters. And wearing a life jacket will not only keep the overboard hunter afloat, but also slows the loss of critical body heat caused by exposure to cold water. Hunting jackets with life jackets already built in are also light and comfortable to wear. Eight people have drowned in state water since 1998 while hunting from a boat, and none were wearing life jackets. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.